Amen.
You may be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. I want us to open up our Bibles or our smartphones to 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 7. If you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, it can be found on page 963, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 7. And when you find it, put your finger on it or hold your smartphone out because we're going to be looking at it. So I have been so blessed to have so many older mentors throughout my life. People who have encouraged me, who have invested in me, who have supported me, who have kicked me in the butt when I needed it as well. One of those mentors emails me periodically with words of encouragement or counsel, but sometimes words of challenge. And recently I received this email from them. Dear Paul, as you prepare for another busy semester at Hope College, here are some things to ponder as you continue to put your gifts to work in ministry at Hope. I thought I'd pass along some words of wisdom, and let me share a few of the things that he passed on to me. The will of God never takes you to where the grace of God will not protect you. And remember, the richest person is not the one who has the most, but the one who needs the least. Ministry comes out of weakness, not strength. Lose your life to find your life. Give to every human being every right you claim for yourself. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I am so grateful to God for trustworthy mentors like this who spur me on to follow Jesus well. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing with young Timothy in the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy found in the Bible. The Apostle Paul is passing on counsel and encouragement and instruction to Timothy, who has been appointed as a leader, an overseer of the church in the city of Ephesus, which is no small task. Because the city of Ephesus is a very challenging environment to proclaim the Christian message that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, Ephesus was one of the big five major cities of the Roman Empire, which claimed that only Caesar was Lord. So to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord is not only radical, but it's also very dangerous because Caesar entertains no rivals. And that is why Nero, who is the Caesar at this time, is on a targeted campaign to not only persecute Christians, but to wipe out this new religious movement. So this is the city and the climate that young Timothy has been called to. And so wise old mentor Paul writes this in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 7. First of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is only one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus himself, human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed, a herald and an apostle, and I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Keep your Bibles open. Keep the smartphones on. I saw you close that Bible. Keep it open. Paul knows that Timothy has been charged with a very difficult task, one that could easily paralyze, overwhelm, and ultimately crush this young brother. And so old wise mentor Paul says to Timothy in verse 1 that the first thing you need to do, the very first thing that you need to do if you read your text is what? Pray.
Why prayer first? Because prayer in its most fundamental form is acknowledging and voicing our dependency upon God. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. If you like to take notes, write it down. Prayer in its most fundamental form is acknowledging and voicing our dependency upon God. Paul knows that if Timothy tries to do this work in his own strength and in his own power, he will be overwhelmed and ultimately he will be crushed. But with God, all things are possible. That's why Jesus in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them will bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing." How true that is. And I know it's true because I've seen it and I've experienced it in my own life. This is my 25th year as chaplain at Hope College. Silver anniversary, send me cards and presents anytime you want. And I'm privileged to be a part of God's amazing work here at Hope, especially over the past 25 years. You see, you need to know that what you're experiencing right now in chapel was not happening 26 years ago. If you were here 26 years ago and you were in chapel on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you would have been joining somewhere between 30 and 40 other students in this place. And on Sunday, there was no Sunday gathering, because back then, 26 years ago, no one came on Sunday. You would say, really, that the spiritual climate at Hope back then, 26 years ago, was rather dry and barren. However, by God's grace and kindness, the Hope College Board of Trustees made a decision to restructure the campus ministry office, which included the hiring of Ben Patterson, the first dean of the chapel, Dolores Nazarala, Dwight Beal, Danny Hadley, and myself. And I remember gathering with this group of folks for the first time with a handful of students on July 22, 1994, probably before you were even born. And you know what the first thing we did? The first thing we did, wise, old, crusty Ben Patterson, the dean of the chapel, the first thing he did, he called us to do what? What do you think? Pray. To pray for Hope College's president, board of trustees, faculty, staff, students, to pray for the city of Holland, for the pastors and the churches in the Holland area, just like the Apostle Paul urged young Timothy to do in verses 1 and 2 of our text. For this purpose, and this is key if you're a note taker, this is what you need to write down. We prayed for the purpose that people would be saved and come to the knowledge of truth in Jesus Christ. You see, that's God's heart and desire for this world that he created. Check it out for yourself in verse 4. The Apostle Peter affirms this truth also in his letter when he writes, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all come to repentance." And over my 25 years at Hope, I've seen thousands, and I'm not exaggerating, I've seen thousands of people, young, old, black, white, Indian, Asian, Latino, come to know God. And how? Through the person of Jesus Christ, who the Apostle Paul reminds Timothy and us this morning is the one mediator between God and humankind, the one who gave himself a ransom for all. Someone once said that the Christian faith is both inclusive and exclusive. Inclusive in that it invites all people into a loving relationship with God, regardless of race, background, gender, or history. But exclusive in that it is only through the saving work of Jesus that it is possible. Does that make sense? Meaning that Jesus is the hinge pin. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the only way to life with God. Which begs the question this morning, Where are you at with Jesus? Where are you at with Jesus this morning? This was the very question that was presented to a group of Hope College student athletes on a seed trip this summer to Zambia. And the speaker at one point exhorted the students, "Are you all in for Jesus? No more dinking around, no dabbling with Jesus, no half in, half out, no compartmentalization with Jesus." He urged them the question, "Are you all in for Jesus?" Which raises the question, where are you at with Jesus today? Do you desire to be all in with Jesus? Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. Jesus was all in for you. And you. And you and you and me. And he gave himself as a ransom, as a payment on our behalf for all. Chew on that gospel truth today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace.